your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
One of my favorite Sundays of the entire year. That's right. A big thank you to everyone who was here last fundraiser Sunday, both answering phones and giving emotional backup and calling in and giving support and pledges. That's right. Oh, and it's also a fun Sunday because it's the longest time period before the next fundraiser Sunday. So thanks to all. Thank you very much. An interesting show today, seeing as how I somehow qualify into this group. We are going to be talking with Beth Eck. She's a JMU professor of sociology. And Beth has been working on a very interesting topic. And Beth, I titled this The Secrets of Single Men, or Single Men in Midlife, I think is what you told me. I'm curious, how long have you been over at JMU? And
I started at JMU in 1996, so I've been there for a while now.
And I'm curious, what brought about this topic?
Yeah.
I mean, why single men? Why men in midlife?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. First of all, as part of my duties over there, I teach a sociology of families course. And as a single person myself, at the time, I was really disconcerted by the fact that families, readers, and textbooks never talk about single people. It's as though if you're a single person, if you're unmarried, then you have no attachment to family whatsoever. So there might be some attention paid to single mothers or divorced fathers, people have connections to children, but just who single people are, how they create families and what have you, not given very much attention at all, because the assumption is if you're single, if you're not married, then you're on the road to becoming married at some point. And so there's no consideration of it as a perhaps a longer-term status or just as an event, a life event that we might want to consider on its own. So I was sort of interested in single people in general, but the reason single men in particular is because the rap on single men is actually pretty bad. I mean, sociologically, it's definitely bad. Sociologists have long noted all the benefits that people realize from marriage, and men in particular realize lots of benefits from marriage. They live longer than men who aren't married. They have more likely to get promoted. They're more likely to vote. They're more likely to be involved in their communities. They're more likely to make more money, get promoted, and these kinds of things. And so when I took that into consideration with just actually popular culture and the kind of representations we get of single men there, such as single men are afraid of commitment, single men are players, single men are gay, single men, in short, are men with problems, and we can see this.
And let's just say that these are all assumptions, correct?
Oh, they're just stereotypes. They're kind of the stigmas of
single men. Being a single man. What is the age group that qualifies
as
midlife?
So I decided to look at men between the ages of 40 and 65, and I'll tell you why I did that. I think that, first of all, the average age of marriage is for men now is about 27. And
27?
Mm-hmm. And so men who are in their 20s and even in their early 30s probably think that they're going to be getting married. You know, as most of the men that I talked to who never married thought that by now they would be married, you know. And so and then there are the men who are over 65 who probably have thought that some of their elderly years, their golden years, you're not elderly anymore at 65, might be spent alone. But I think men who are right in the middle there are kind of really living the status. They're living with the fact of not being married. And so that just seemed like a more interesting kind of category to me. And so, you know, I would just say something about marriage in general and where we are at right now with marriage and culture and society, American culture and society. And that is that marriage itself, you know, it used to be people got married because it's a place where they got economic security. It's a place where people raise children. And even though ideally that might be the place where people do those things, we're doing those things outside of marriage now. So marriage actually has taken on this larger symbolic significance. So really what marriage means now is that it's the place where you show that you're really worthy, that you've really achieved something. Somebody wanted you, you know. And so you can see this just in the hoopla around weddings these days and that sort of thing. So we have this idea that, well, marriage is just an option. There are all kinds of ways of living an acceptable adult lifestyle. But marriage in some ways has become even more symbolically significant as to what it says about you. And I think if you're not married, and particularly in midlife and not married, you're thinking about, okay, now what does my life look like without that infrastructure of marriage? You know, how do I build a life without that?
I'm curious as to how many people just started feeling bad.
Well, I don't, as in the interview itself, I don't really start out by saying, hey, here's the rap on you guys, and it's pretty bad. I start out by talking to men just about wanting to know something about single men in general, because we have so little data or evidence on them. And it is that what we do know is not very positive. You know, I would just say this too. When I started to do this research, people would ask me, what are you working on? And I would say, well, I'm doing this investigation of single men in midlife, and I'm interested in how they live as single men. And automatically, people would turn that question into, have you figured out why these guys are single yet? So asking the how question automatically got turned into the why question.
Explain that again to me.
So I'm interested in, okay, if I know men die earlier who aren't married, if I know that men's diets who are not married are worse than, you know, the diets of men who are married, it doesn't tell me much about how men organize their life as single men. It tells me their life chances. So I wanted to know how men lived, you know. And when I would say that to people, they would say, have you figured out why they're single?
Oh, as though there's a...
There's a
particular reason, a problem, okay.
There's a problem.
They made the specific choice.
There's something, it's interesting. I don't think that many people, when I was starting this research anyway and just talking to them about doing it, thought that it was a choice so much as that there really was something probably wrong. Let's put it this way. When I would be referred to men, it wasn't unusual for men... The people referring me were actually friends of these men, and they would say, now, you've got to talk to this guy. There's a reason that guy's single, for example.
Because that's one of my questions on here, is being single at middle age a choice or a fact of life, you know, sort of a destiny or an occurrence?
Yeah. Well, at this point, it's both, I think. You know, for most of the men that I talk to, it's some combination of choice and circumstance. And I should say that I talk to both never married men and divorced men. And we can
talk
about...
So divorced men qualify.
Divorced men did qualify because I was also interested as a sociologist sort of complicating these categories we have. You know, you get any kind of survey and it asks you to check the marital status categories. And I was just curious to know... sort of looking at men who are outside marriage in general, not just never married men, but divorced men now as well. And interestingly, all the divorced men that I spoke with the exception of one, actually thought of themselves as single. They said, geez, if I had an opportunity to just check single instead of divorced on a survey sheet, I would check that because that's how I feel. I feel single. So there's something that men never married and divorced sort of share in terms of how they think they're received by others, that makes them feel single. But in any event, at this point, you know, I think that all the never married men thought they would probably be married by now. But they're okay. They're getting more okay with the fact that they aren't, or they're more, you know, they often say, I could have been married now if I wanted to be, you know, so it's a choice in that kind of respect. The divorced men aren't necessarily interested in getting married again. They would like to be repartnered, but they've been married.
Did you find any sadness? I mean, you talked about how they're accepting now. Does that mean that they were or are still suffering from some sort of sadness at the fact that they are single?
Yeah, that's really a mixed bag, you know. Some men, certainly, especially if men have been in a relationship that they thought that was heading toward marriage and something happened there and it didn't, there might be some sadness over that. But I think what happens once men get in, some men anyway, the men that I've talked to get into their 40s, is that they're sort of coming to terms with, well, this might not ever happen, and how would that look then? You know, or it might not happen again, and how would that be? And they've been working on ways to kind of create this life outside of marriage, right? Many of them are, date with regularity. Many of them have lots of friends that they hang out with, and have friends and family that they are also close to, and kind of create families in that sort of way. So I don't want to say there's no sadness. There's definitely sadness. But I found that was really kind of connected to, recently broken up relationships and really just sort of trying to figure out, okay, what does this look like if I don't end up getting married? You know, how do I see my future? What does that look like?
We are talking about the secrets of single men in midlife with James Madison University professor of sociology, Beth Eck. Beth in the studio today. You're welcome to call up 979-0919-18. What is our number here? 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. And if you want to send a question by instant message, it's WNRN Studio. That's on the AOL set. Beth, are you? Do you have any comparison to married men? Is that part of your study, or are you using other studies to do that?
Yeah, I am not interviewing married men. It's interesting. There are books about this, Marriage and Men's Lives, to name one, but there are other. There's a book, I can't remember what it's called now, but it's by this guy, Neil Chethick, who's actually a journalist. And he wrote this sort of interesting book where he interviewed lots of men who are at different stages in their marriage that people might be interested in looking at. And that gets closer to the thing that I'm sort of interested in, because marriage isn't, you know, people don't feel the same way about their marriage in their 20s as they do in their 40s or in their 60s. But most of the sociological research on never married men really is just this sort of point of comparison. So it's a lot of statistical data about married men and how married men fare compared to not being married. So I'm using that as a backdrop, but I'm not really interested in comparing my men specifically to a population of married men. I'm really just more interested in knowing who they are.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your research and what you discovered, Beth Eck, from JMU here, and her study about single men. And again, you did age 40 to 65.
Age 40 to 65. And it's a small sample. People should know that, too. I mean, I'm looking at men 40 to 65. At this point, I've just interviewed 26 men, and I'm conducting follow-up interviews with those men as well.
So, right. So you did, your original set was 4 years ago?
It was 4 years ago, and now I'm following up. And one of the reasons I wanted to do that, well, first of all, because I didn't get as many men as I had hoped to when I first started out.
Do people give you a hard time when you say things like that? Hey, you know, what were you looking for single men for?
Oh, well, yes, this is another thing. When I started out the research and I would tell people what I was doing, they would say, have you figured out why these men are single? And then I would often have, particularly the wife of a colleague of mine, who persistently asked me if I had found one yet. You know, so that...
Right. Are you doing this to get a date?
Yeah, yeah. So I had orchestrated the entire thing just in order to find one myself.
Right, because you said early on that you were single.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But you also didn't say that was anywhere near part of the research, and people shouldn't assume that because you're a professional sociologist. I mean, obviously that wasn't why.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, male or female professors doing their study on, you know, on anything, on families, aren't looking to join the family or...
Yeah. I think it's interesting, though, because when you do qualitative work in sociology, and you're out talking to people or watching people, there's probably some biography that comes into play as to why you picked a topic to begin with. And so instead of just assuming I might be interested in single people because I was unmarried myself, I was a single person myself, people automatically sort of went to this, are you looking for someone yourself, you know, that I would be kind of desperate to get married, because, of course, everyone wants to get married. This is the assumption. And so I would orchestrate this whole research project just in order to do so. So in any event, people did have that reaction. Some people did, anyway, to the
research. We have a call from Megan in Richmond. Hey, Megan.
Hey, are you?
I'm well. Beth, can you hear Megan?
I can.
All right, Megan, what you bringing?
Hey, Beth. I found your topic really interesting, and actually, my mother has been dating someone for about 10 years. He is 55. He's never been married, and they have recently been moved in together, and now I think he's done with it. He doesn't want that. And I actually found myself recently dating someone of the same sort in his 30s, and that's the same reason we broke up. And they have this mindset that they are single men, and that's how they want to stay, and they have no interest in it whatsoever. But yet they still have family and friends around them that, you know, are important to them, but they don't want a wife.
Yeah, that's interesting, Megan, because what I find is that there might be this rap on singles and single men in particular that they really like to be alone, but that's not it. I mean, most of the single men that I interviewed have plenty of friends and are close to family, but they might prefer just not being married. But I will say this too, that we live in a society that places a lot of expectation on marriage. And so the single men that I interviewed, as well as people in general in American society, I think just have very high expectations for marriage. So I only want to get into a marriage if it's going to be a good marriage, right? So a number of these men I talked to looked around them and couldn't find good marriages, right? So they were able to say that, you know, they didn't have models for relationships, I would say. That marriage was really hard work. And so if it's going to be that hard, I've got to do more work to see that I'm ready to do the hard work. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And actually, he has said stuff like that, and he often refers to his parents and how they fought all the time, and he doesn't want to have to fight all the time. And that's what marriage to him seems to be, is a fight. And that's just not something he's interested in.
Yeah, and I'm sure somebody who's a psychologist of the family could speak to that better than I can. But I think there is some literature out there about that, you know, that we sort of look at our parents' relationships as we look at many relationships and think, well, is that a model for what I want? And we take away all kinds of lessons, right? Some people decide they're going to get married to beat their parents, right? My parents were horrible at this, and so I'm going to show them how to do it right. You know, there's a book out there called The Starter Marriage, which is really interesting, which is about 20-somethings getting married and having these really romantic ideas about marriage, and in part because they grew up in a divorce culture. And so what they're looking to show is that, you know, our parents got it all wrong, but we're going to be the generation to get it right. So there's all kinds of psychology that goes on there and probably works differently for different people.
All right, Megan, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
11:19 here on the Sunday morning wake-up call. We're talking about single men in midlife with Beth Eck from James Madison University, professor of sociology. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
All right, markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and their Shenandoah Valley. It was a little fog this morning and maybe up on the mountains, but sunny today, highs 75 to 80. A little cooler in the valley, a little warmer in Richmond, partly cloudy tonight, lows 40 to 45, and a few more temperatures in Richmond. Sunny tomorrow, highs 75 to 80. Right now, it's clear across most of the listening area, 64 in the valley, 67 in Lynchburg, 72 in Richmond, 68, and a beautiful day here in Charlottesville. Let me take a moment and congratulate Stephen Monroe of Richmond and Janelle Clark of Charlottesville, the most recent grand prize winners from the fall 2008 fund drive. Stephen won a complete home theater system from Crutchfield. Janelle won the 91.9 second run through Plan 9. Pay your pledge by 10 a.m. Monday for your chance to win a two-night weekend stay with two ski passes and a round of golf at Wintergreen, and a pair of tickets to a show at the Paramount Theater with a night at the Omni. Pay by 5 to win a $500 shopping spree from Seaville Bike and Try and a two-night weekend stay at Hampton Inn. All right, back to Beth Eck here in the studio today. I got a couple things here. Let me finish up with this one first. Something that Megan said in her call about, and whether she was talking about her relationship that was finishing up or her mother's, saying about how they wanted, the men wanted to be solo, needed their privacy. I'm curious, that reminded me of something someone that I was recently speaking to said, and is it possible to break men of their single habits? and whatever that is, if it's, you know, eating poorly or, you know, whatever the habit may be that the relationship needs to continue on its best track. Did you find anything out about that?
Well, I'll tell you this. I think that the older you get, you get more set in your ways. I mean, that seems pretty clear to me. And certainly with the men that I talk to, particularly the never married men, there is a sense that this is how my life works. I'm not sure how much of that I want to compromise on. However, all of them did say for the right person, right? So there's this idea that, which I don't think is far-fetched, actually, that someone would come along and you'd be in this relationship with them, and this would make you want to do things that you hadn't done before, or you would consider that. But if you think about, you know, what's an upside about being single? I mean, I'm not male, and I could say this about being single, and that is that, you know, you don't have to get permission to do just about whatever it is that you want to do. If you don't want to, you know, as one guy said to me, if I don't want to make my bed in the morning, I don't make the bed in the morning, you know. If I want to spend all weekend watching videos, I can spend all weekend watching videos, okay. Now, some men see this as a downside, right? It suggests to them that they're really pretty selfish and that they need to sort of be working themselves out of it.
They need that they need that push from someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, or that they would have to, of course, they wouldn't want to feel like they were being pushed. So that they were making a choice to not do that because they would be wanting to spend time with this other person.
All right, yeah. I got a an instant message on the WNRN studio set, and I also have something here from Susan who came in on a previous call. Susan, I haven't forgotten your question. Did Beth find these men weird or with a strange idiosyncrasies? Were they funny looking? Were they personable?
Most of them were very personable. I didn't think that many of them were weird at all, actually. I think this is the...
this goes back to the stereotype.
That's right. It goes back to the stereotype that there's something wrong with these men. You know, I was applying for a grant, let me just say, and I'll speak to this. And one of the people on the panel said, you know, I think that you're missing the really interesting question. The really interesting question is, do dysfunctional men end up single, or does being single make you dysfunctional? All right, so there's this perception out there. It's really pretty widespread. So I did not find that these men were weird. I mean, here's what I think that's interesting, and maybe this will be, people will find this funny or helpful, but I was at a party a couple of years ago, and I was talking to a married guy about the study. And I said, you know, there's this perception out there that single men are kind of these loser guys, that there's really something wrong with them. He said, you know, let me tell you a story. My wife and I often want to have other married couples over. And when we're thinking about this, we think, geez, we really like her. She's a lot of fun. But we'll have to put up with him. He said, so my guess is there's actually a lot of quote-unquote loser guys who somehow lucked into being married. And that's the study you want to look at, you know. How is that? But there's something about getting married. It confers your worth. You know, you obviously somebody wanted you, so you must not be weird. But I think that if we, even anecdotally, if we think about our friendship circles and the number of people that we know, I think we might think, ooh, not on a bet would I want to be with that person, whether it's male or female. We think they're kind of weird or they're slackers or whatever it is. But somehow they lucked in, they maybe lucked into a marriage somehow.
Thank you for that, because being the single man in the room, I appreciate that. Let me take a moment and let everybody know about the Live Arts Program, upcoming WNRN and M3 Marshall Contracting and Masonry. Remind you that Live Arts is presenting John Patrick Shanley's Tony Award and Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Doubt, A Parable, through October 11th. The play poses the question, what do you do when you are not sure? And is set in a Catholic grade school in the Bronx of the 1960s. It is currently in production as a motion picture to be released during the holidays as well. More at livearts.org. Events at Live Arts are publicized on WNRN in part with the support of M3 Marshall Contracting and Masonry. Stephanie Marshall, a friend of mine, but not only the reason that I read that. All right, we're here with Beth Eck from JMU, Department of Sociology, talking about the study that she did. Dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Susan from Faber called in, made a pledge. Did she make the pledge of this program? Thumbs up from Sean McCord out front. Thank you, Susan. Double thanks. And her question is, do these men eventually get married? Now, you've had 4 years between your original study questions and I guess what you're doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. So of the study, I started to talk a little bit about the sample. And again, people should be aware it's a small sample. You know, we're talking about 26 men, but I'm talking to these men for between 2 and 3 hours at a time. And so I've got a lot of really rich data about them. And that's a trade-off when you do qualitative work, is that you get a lot of data about a small number, but you are hopeful that it says something meaningful. And all these men were white. I should also say that. And there are differences. You know, white Americans have a different marital history in the United States than non-white Americans. So in any event, of these men, 14 were never married and 12 were divorced. And of the 14 never married guys that I have been able to get back in touch with, so a couple of them I have not, two of them have since gotten married in the intervening 4 years. And that's about all I can say. You know, in general, I can tell you this, 90% of white Americans marry by the time they're 40. So your chances of getting married after 40 do start to diminish, but it doesn't mean that it isn't possible.
So you found the two men who had gotten married.
That's right.
Did you interview them again? Or they were automatically dropped out of the study because they were now married?
One of them I have interviewed again. The other one I will when we can arrange time. And so, no, I absolutely want to interview them again. Of course, it takes on a different kind of tone. You know, it's sort of, what's changed? How did this happen? And sort of how has your life changed now being married than as opposed to when you were single? So.
I want to talk a little bit about how the men see themselves. You mentioned early on I don't know if you used the word or I'm interpreting it as such, a stigma. Mm-hmm. You certainly mentioned it as how others view the men. Yeah. There's a stigma there is because they must, as I think this instant message that came across was weird, unusual idiosyncrasies, et cetera.
Yeah.
Do the men see themselves as having a stigma? Certainly others do. Mm-hmm. And how does that compare with, you know, the single man compare with the single woman?
Yeah.
Because early on you mentioned so much work on the single woman and the family work, but little on the single men.
Well, I'll say this. The single men in my study are well aware of all the stigmas of them. So they're well aware of the commitment phobe stereotype. They're well aware of the player stereotype, which is interesting because that's not always a downside, right? So it's not unusual for single men to be talking about how married men imagine that having the opportunity to be playing around all the time with a number of women is actually a bonus of being single, even though the men I talk to are not, in general, I would say players. But that's a stereotype that someone is gay, that a heterosexual man is gay because he's not married. And then there's just some sort of, you know, personal deficiency. They're just weird. There's something wrong with them. So they're very aware of that. Even saying that single people are sometimes viewed as sort of suspicious characters. Like, what's the problem? Why can't you be in a relationship? What's wrong with you? So they're very aware of that. But what I think is really interesting is that none of these men believe it, right? So they think there's this whole story out there about them, or several stories, none of which add up to anything very good. But they're really resistant to that. They don't feel themselves like there's anything wrong with them, which is good, I think.
And how does that compare to, okay, so it doesn't affect the single man.
Yeah.
The stigma doesn't affect the single male.
Right, on some personal level. Like they feel, oh, I feel so bad about myself. Because,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, and I realize that your study doesn't do this work,
yeah.
but I would believe that you have mm-hmm. done a lot of reading on this work, mm-hmm. both the fact that you teach a family course, and just because of your tenure at JMU, you've done a lot of work on this. And compare that to the stigma of the single female.
Well, it's interesting because I think that there is a stigma about single women, but I think that sort of changes. I mean, I just don't, and I'd like to hear from a caller on this, but I don't hear the stigma old maid anymore. You know, it's just not a term that seems to be out there in the culture as it used to be. And so now I think there might be some suggestion that women who aren't married are too into their career, you know, something like that. But there is more work on women outside of marriage and how it is that they are living their lives. And they also, the research anyway, tends to certainly focus on the positive and the positives of those kinds of situations. Interestingly, the men that I talked to, many of them thought it would be much harder for women to be single in midlife than it is for them. But the literature that's out there suggests that that's not actually true, that women have many single women anyway, have a sort of a positive view of their lives. You know, it's a real difference for single women, I think, particularly single women who have never had children but wanted them. I think there's a lot more sort of sadness about that. But if you're a single woman who is ambivalent about having children, then perhaps not being married doesn't seem as big a deal. But in any event, that's just sort of anecdotal. I think that the stereotypes for single women, you know, I think about this, you know, what's the model for single women? And we've had a lot about Sex and the City. And that doesn't seem so bad. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem, they're not the 40-year-old virgin, let's say. They're not crashing weddings. They're not, you know, I think about how we have these views of single men out there. You know, they're not, somebody told me about the guys on King of the Hill. And I just don't see a lot of that for single women and how it is they're portrayed. I think, you know, you may have come a long way, baby, but we do live in a society that still kind of puts getting married in some ways in the hands of men. They are the ones who do the asking, so they are the more curious population, right?
979-0919, question for Beth Eck, as we talk about single men and midlife. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS.
So there could be this perception, you know, that women aren't married, even though, gee, she's a really great girl. Why hasn't anybody caught her yet? Why hasn't anybody asked her? Or they might think she's just crazy. Nobody's going to ask her. But for men, particularly the men in my study, many of whom have high self-concepts, and I can understand why they do, they're a curiosity because it's like, you could ask and you're not asking, you know? Most of the never-married guys say they could be married. They could be married tomorrow if they wanted to be.
Here's another instant message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feel free to use the phone, people. It says, being a single woman is irritating. Not because being single is bad, but because your friends and family are always concerned and on the lookout for potential mates.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there is, and single men I talk to find this as well. There is this concern that others around you have that you must not be fulfilled. You must not be happy if you don't have this relationship component, but more specifically, the marriage component, because marriage is the key to a happy life. I mean, this is really ingrained in our society, even though we've got all kinds of evidence for how marriage is really hard, the number of marriages that fail. Marriage is still, it's the way people build their futures, you know. I talk to my students, I ask them the question, how many of you plan to get married someday? And it's almost universal, you know, the show of hands. And if I ask, how many of you know who you're going to get married to? Then maybe you get a handful of hands, right? But there's this idea that this is just what you do. And I think especially for the instant messenger there, parents in particular can be big, you know, they talk about peer pressure, but I think parents too can put a lot of pressure on children because this is how life gets mapped out. You go to school, hopefully you go to college, you get a good job, you get married, you start having children. And if you don't do that, then people don't know what to make of that.
Well, it's the infrastructure.
In fact,
this message has a follow-up that says mm-hmm. they want grandchildren.
They want grandchildren. They do want grandchildren. You know, I asked this, I don't know if you'll find this helpful, but several years ago, my father got on this, and finally, you know, I just said to him, if you want grandchildren, I could go out and have some. And that pretty much took care of it.
And I'm assuming that that wasn't, you said that in the snarky way, which wasn't about in the quote, normal manner.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, and then I said to him, and what would you do with these grandchildren? Like if I had them, let's say I had them, and then I brought them to you for the weekend. What are you going to do with them? You know, and he's sort of stymied by this. And of course he is, because they're not thinking necessarily through what they would do with these grandchildren. But it's a nice thing to be able to tell your friends that you have grandchildren.
Pictures are very nice.
And there is this, and I don't want to be too flip about this. I mean, obviously people want grandchildren. I get it. They want to be able to take them to their school pageants or watch them play soccer.
Presents are wonderful.
Presents are a great thing. Being a grandparent can be a great thing. I'm not disparaging that at all. I get it. But I'm just making the point that oftentimes there isn't a whole lot of thought about it. You know, specifically, it's more like this is just what you do. And so we're really in a time, I think, where we're trying to reframe our ideas of adulthood. You know, is there another option besides getting married? Could the option be not getting married and still look like a viable option, you know, an okay option? People are okay if they're not married.
11:38 on the wake-up call. I see another phone question has come in. People apparently just don't want their voice online, as though they may be single man or single female. Let me do this. Send us an instant message, WNRN Studio. Call us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. And Lynn from Charlottesville, I'll get right to yours after this.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
University of Virginia professor George Garrett had a knack for stories, for teaching, and for bringing people along on his wild and humorous ride. The Hook shows us how. Preservationists weren't happy when the Jefferson Scholars Foundation leveled a time-worn mansion. Now they can see how the replacement will look. And Paul Newman also had some influence on our local area. His legacy lives on. The Hook, because it's your choice. And programming today also brought to you with the support of Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And don't forget the folks at 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates, available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. All right, Beth Eck, JMU professor here in the studio today as we talk about single men, et cetera. Well, I'll take the live caller. And then I'll get back to the note. I got Doug from Richmond. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Doing all right, man. What you bringing on? Questions for Beth?
Yeah, I'm 50 years old. I've lived with a girl for 6 years, lived with another one for 10 years. I'm single now. Been single for a few years. I like it. Have somebody moving your stuff all around where you can't find it, you know. Nobody to complain about how much beer you drink. Mm-hmm. And you can go hunting and fishing whenever you want.
And let me ask you, Doug, I assume that when you were in these fairly long-term relationships, you liked those, though, as well, right?
Like what?
When you've been in long-term relationships where you've been living with women, and I assume that you liked that as well.
Well, it worked. It worked mm-hmm. until it didn't work.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it just grows old after a while, and both of them had kids, and mm-hmm. that was kind of tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can get out and do stuff now, you know, and I don't have to answer to anybody.
Do you have people badgering at you about the fact that you're not married?
Nobody at all.
Uh-huh. That's another thing that I find, actually, Doug, is that a lot of these men, no one has asked them why they're single in a really long time. So they think that this is kind of perhaps maybe whispering that goes on behind their back, or they think that perhaps their parents are still kind of curious about why they're not married, but that... Maybe, as one of the men said to me, I think people have just sort of given up. They're not going to ask me anymore because I'm not getting married, and that's that.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. I'm not getting married. I'm going to be a bachelor the rest of my life.
Okay.
Anyway, I guess
as long as you're cool with that.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
You
Thanks,
too.
Doug. There you go. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I can tell you that people move your stuff around if you let them in the house. But it doesn't have to be someone that you're dating. Anyone you're letting in your house can move your stuff around.
Uh-huh.
All right, there's a call coming in. So let me read this one from Lynn from Charlottesville. Lynn says she's dating these men.
Yeah.
And they have a high expectation that the women fit into their lives. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I have. I can't deny that. You know, it's part of, again, kind of get older, you get more settled, you like the way that you've organized your life. I have men who have said to me straight out that they would be fine having a relationship, but they're not going to move too many things around, you know, to make that happen, that she's going to have to work around their schedule. So I definitely have, I've definitely seen that.
I mean, in what little, and granted, again, we come back to the fact that your study is on single men,
mm-hmm.
but is there any research that says it works both ways, that women who are single are less likely to want to let the men into their lives mm-hmm. and move things around?
You know, I am not familiar with that. It's been, I have to admit, it's been a while since I've read the research on single women, and there's not a ton of it anyway, but the stuff that's out there. But I do think that just regardless of your gender, the older you get, the more settled you become in your ways. I will say this, women as a group, and again, this is a gross generalization, but just through the socialization process, have been socialized to be more accommodating. This is what we do. And so there's a sense, I think, in which women might be more prone to compromise. They want other people to be happy. They're more used to kind of putting their needs behind someone else's needs than our men. Again, it's a gross exaggeration, but I do think that there's definitely evidence there from sociological research that that is the case.
All right, let's see. We got Sean. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
All right, Sean from Richmond, is that right?
Yep.
All right, man.
I heard a comedian once that said, do you want to be lonely or do you want to be annoyed?
Lonely or...
Personally, I don't get lonely, but I get annoyed pretty easily. I guess that's why.
Lonely or annoyed?
I'm still a bachelor. also, I had a friend of mine that told me, she's a 93-year-old woman, I'm a 44-year-old bachelor, and she told me that...
He broke up. Anyway, I think that's, you know, that's really follows along with what Doug and a couple mm-hmm. of the other callers have
yeah.
said, which is, you know, people moving my stuff around or people getting permission.
Yeah. I will say this, though. There is a reason why married men live 10 years longer than non-married men. And that one of those reasons, there are several. One is that they're less likely to engage in risky behaviors. But the other one, there are many, but another one is that their wives make sure that they go to the doctor, that they pick up prescriptions when they're supposed to.
You said that they have a healthier diet.
That they have a healthier diet. And so one man's annoyance, also known as the nag factor, also can translate into a longer and healthier life.
All right. Hold on. Oh, darn it. I knew I pushed the wrong button. See? I'm sorry. The anonymous call from Richmond. I messed up.
Can I just go back to something else?
Do you sure.
There have been a couple of calls about, you know, what's wrong with people and this idea that they want to figure out. Even the woman who called and her parents think that she should be getting married and they're trying to set her up. There's a lot of trying to figure out what's wrong with the single person. And so it's not unusual for women and men, but I'll speak from my own personal experience as a woman, that the assumption I get is that I'm too picky, right? That I was just too picky. So there's this idea that once you get to a certain age, you lose the right to be picky. You should just take whatever you can get. And so it's sort of an interesting, and I would just say in general that people who aren't married are subject to other people's judgments in a way that married people simply are not. If you're married, you've done it. We're done talking about it until your marriage is failing, and then we'll talk about it, right? But if you're single, you're just open to all kinds of judgments. You're vulnerable to judgments of others.
If Richard calls back, Richard. If the anonymous call back, okay, it's Richmond, not to break that anonymous. It doesn't say Richard. It says Richmond. All right. Sorry about that. How you doing? What's your question or comment?
Well, I would like to ask, in her studies, did you find that any of these men, maybe because they are still single or maybe were in past relationships, that they had problems with alcohol or drugs, which may have led, or even financial problems, which may have led to them, losing relationships or not being able to carry on with getting married?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I can tell you that two of the men in my sample, one who is divorced and the other who has never married, they're both recovering alcoholics. So there have been some alcoholic histories there, at least for a couple of the men. And they did talk about how that certainly impeded their ability to have healthy relationships. I have men in my sample who are not, I would say, either heavy drinkers or heavy drug users. The men that I have talked to tend to be light to moderate drinkers. The men who are consuming any drugs at all, doing any drugs at all, tends to be smoking marijuana. And that is a very small portion of the number of men I talk to. So I'm not finding that there's a lot of that that's impeding their ability or willingness to be in a relationship.
All right, thanks for the question. Great question.
Sure.
And we'll get back to that in a minute because I have another call here. But it is 11:49 on the wake-up call. Let me do this real quick. Because Drew Thompson just walked into the room for Les Temps Perdue, and everyone should know by now Les Temps Perdue is late 80s through mid-90s alternative tunes. He will be here in about 11 minutes. And Les Temps Perdue brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. So not that you would, but don't be going anywhere. There's a dirty instant message here, or it's not really dirty, but something that may be inappropriate. I'll have to figure out how to ask that question in a good way. We have Vito from Charlottesville. Hey, Vito.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you well.
Let me pull over here. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. recently in playing tennis, I was chatting with a woman and a man who are both divorced and kind of their late 50s. I asked them both if they'd like to remarry, and the response was essentially the same. They said, I like to be married about 50% of the time.
Interesting.
I find that interesting.
Yeah. Did they elaborate on that?
It's probably what you're really talking about is that they're accustomed to living on their own. Now, they're not young.
Yeah.
And they're used to having things their way.
Yeah.
But they would like the companionship of someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, at least with the men that I talked to who were divorced, most of them didn't really care about getting married again. Most of them they'd like to be repartnered. They like being in a relationship. But They also thought that marriage was really tied to having children, and they had either already had children or they were past the point of wanting children, you know? And so what's the point of getting married? We could just be partnered up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting comment, though. And was that your interpretation of it, that they there was a lot of positives to being single that maybe they just weren't willing to give up?
Yeah, I think they both would like to have a companion. I guess they don't want to live with all the details of all the challenges of living together 100% of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I know in my case, I've been married for 47 years, and gosh, do I love being married.
Yeah.
I love all pieces of it, and if something happened to my wife, I'd be married in a day. It's really wonderful having children and grandchildren and everything that goes along with it.
All right, Vito. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye. Yeah, and I would just say that, you know, when the men I talk to think about or would like to get married, it's Vito's kind of relationship that they're looking for and wondering if they could ever possibly have it. You know, they want to like all aspects of it, you know.
979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. You know, I wish this program sometimes started at 11:30 because we always get the bash of phone calls from 11:30 on.
Can I go back to something before I forget?
Yeah, let me remind everybody that you are listening to Beth Eck, James Madison professor of sociology, as we talk about single men in midlife and her study on that. Go ahead.
You were asking me if I had interviewed any of the guys who had married, and I did interview the one guy anyway who did. And just for people, I know we had a couple of calls from women like, you know, do they change? Are they ready to give things up and what have you? You know, this guy throughout his entire interview in 2004 said to me that he wasn't quite ready to step up. He wasn't ready to stop dating women, lots of women, even though he had sort of a long-term relationship going on most of the time. He wasn't quite there yet. He just wasn't ready to step up. And when I asked him about that now, you know, he just can't, he just feels like a different person. You know, he met this woman, you know, it kind of all fell into place for him. And he doesn't feel like he has given up anything. He feels like he's gained, and he only had extremely positive things to say about his marriage. He'd been married for about a year. So I just thought that I would put that in there for callers who have been interested in that.
One of the things, you know, we talked early on in the program about whether these gentlemen were weird or had unusual idiosyncrasies, et cetera. I have a question about the relationships to the family.
Yeah.
Were the relationships closer? Mm-hmm. Were they more solitary? Were there any father-son or mother-son issues that you read into this?
There were no father-son issues at all. I had...
And you mean in a bad way or particularly good way?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rick. No, most of them were normal. I did, if anybody had wanted to talk about their dad a lot, it was because they thought he was a really great guy, and they really admired the relationship that he had with their mother, okay? But there were, 26 men, there were about 6 men who I think people would say had mother issues, so wanted to, you know, talk about how their mothers had sort of been too domineering, had expected too much. Another guy whose mother was absent a lot, there were issues. Are they connected then to their? You know, two of those men are the two men that I know of who ended up getting married. So, you know, I don't know that
there any of them who are
anything.
Like still living in the basement.
No, I've got no one living at home in the basement.
Okay.
No one. And I will say this, you asked about whether or not they're close to families. Yes, this is the thing. Most of these men come from families where their parents were married until death or are still married and spoke very highly. You know, they said the relationships weren't perfect, but they thought there was something to longevity, working together. They really admired the relationships that their parents had. They also spoke with their parents frequently, you know, every once a week for many of them, every couple of weeks for others. They also tended to be close to siblings. That was far more the case than not the case with the men that I spoke with.
All right, 11:56 here in the wake-up call. I see that there's a call on the phone. Hopefully we can squeeze that in before we finish up with Beth Eck. James Madison University professor of sociology, as we talk about her study on single men and midlife, age 40 to 65. Let me do this real quick. We want to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. You can go back to school in mountain style this year with packs, footwear, and clothing from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. They have over 15 styles of packs from the North Face, and if it's a padded laptop or courier bag you're looking for, Blue Ridge has them too, from Ground, Timbuktu, and Patagonia. You can find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at BRMS.com. And in case you just didn't know, this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. All right, let's bring this caller on. We have Jessica from Harrisonburg.
Hi, my question, Beth, was about going back to the mother issues.
Yeah.
Did you find that these guys were more, you know, felt responsible, I guess, for taking care of their mothers and their fathers rather than taking care of a wife and a family as the married guys had chosen to do? Were they still really connected with that first family, you know, that they had when they were younger?
No.
Hey, Jessica, I'm going to hang up and let you listen on the radio because it sounds to me like you're on your cell phone.
Thank you.
No, actually, I found the opposite. I found it to be the opposite case, that men who felt that they had, that their mother had been, you know, sort of either domineering or absent or kind of expected a lot of from them in ways that they thought was dysfunctional or unhealthy, actually, these men have sort of detached themselves from their mothers, and that's what's been healthy, quote-unquote healthy for them, is to really not have a close relationship with her. So it hasn't, it's not that they have substituted caring for her as opposed to caring for a wife and children.
Let me ask you, because we just have a minute or two left before Drew takes over on Les Temps, how do these men see their futures? Have they, and I think we touched on this earlier, mm-hmm. but have they, you know, given up hope on being married? Is that still a hope that they've given up on? Or is it just now, well, you know, what happens, happens as I live my life?
It's much more that. It's whatever happens, happens. If I am, if someone comes along and I end up getting married, that would be great. But I've pretty much learned to live with the fact that it might not. And that's okay, too. It's been an adjustment. And I think we still have to see how the futures of these men play out. And I think that many times that is sort of the scary thing. So when I talk to these men about their futures, you know, where do you see yourselves at 75, 80? You know, the first thing that many of them discuss with me is that, well, they're hoping that they're in really good physical health. And they're hoping that they'll be able to travel and, you know, not have to be worried about money and these kinds of things. So, you know, as far as planning a retirement, you know, how do you do that by yourself? That's something that, you know, we have to see.
And that brings me to the last instant message that we received, which is sex with women is good exercise. All right. Beth, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you. That was great.
Next week, we will have University Professor Emeritus R.K. Ramazani on to talk about what's going on in Iraq and Iran, Pakistan, etc. Thank you so much, Beth. That was a great show. And thanks to all who called in. Drew Thompson up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.